Time to be up here and be part of this. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Thankful for Brother Stove asking me to come up here, and it's always good to ride up here, Brother Kirsch and Brother Red. And we started out this morning at 4 o'clock to get here. Or it seems like it. It felt like it was 4 o'clock when I got up. I don't know. But as we look in the Word of God, thank you for being here. As we look in the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 3, I want to read to you verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. As the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. As we look in the Word of God this morning, I want to show you something. There's only one definition of faith in the Bible. You don't even have to have a dictionary. It's already in the Bible for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says plainly there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as we look at the definition of faith, there are several different types of faith of that one faith. Man, I suggest to you this morning that there is something in the Bible called saving faith. And we look at saving faith. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right. We have saving faith where God saves a sinner only by grace through faith. Amen. Everybody wants to study these cults and all this stuff. Let me give you a simple definition of a cult. A cult is anything that adds to the grace of God through the faith that God gives for somebody to be saved. Wow. Any addition to that message makes it a cult. The second kind of faith we see in the Bible is slaying faith. You find that over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you've never been in a battle where the thing was bigger than you, you can go over to 1 Samuel 17 and find out God gives slaying faith. There comes a time in life when we got to look at this thing and say we can't whip it, but God can, and we believe God can. And no matter what that thing is, God can and still can. And we notice also in the Bible, there's also something called surrendering faith. And if you're in full-time Christian service, I'd presume to think that you have already had surrendering faith. That's where in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's where you surrender to his way of thinking and how he thinks about things. And you let him do all the shot calling because he's the shot caller. Right. I know that a lot of you missionaries here and preachers and things, I know this. There had to be a time and place in your life where you got down and said, God, I'll do whatever. And God said, do this. And you said, no, I can't do that, Lord. That's how 99% of us started, ain't it? Lord, I can't do that. Well, God didn't call you because you had the ability in you. He called you because he intended to use something you didn't have, which is him. It's surrendering faith. I notice also in the Bible, and we need a lot of this today, this is something called staying faith. In Psalm 18, verse 18, says, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. We're living in a day where people pack their furniture more than they pack their Bible to walk to the pulpit. It seems like every time I turn around, somebody's give up and quit somewhere. Brother, don't do that. Have some stay in faith. Amen. Listen, God can keep you anywhere he wants you for any length of time, no matter the opposition, no matter the number, whether it be great or small. God can use you and keep you in a place. Sometimes just to aggravate the people around you, he keeps you in a place. But there's also another type of faith in the Bible, and we just read it in these two verses, and that's something called serving faith. And I want to preach to you this morning on serving faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. And we pray, God, that while we're here for these few brief moments, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord God, and touch our hearts and help us to see the great things that you do through serving faith. God, that you'd help each man is called of God here today, Lord, to be a servant for you that would serve and serve by faith. I pray, God, that you'll use every man of God. Help them to preach in their pulpits. Lord, help them to be soul winners, prayer warriors. And God, help us to all be servants for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we get to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Proverbs is the book of wisdom in the Bible. And as we look at that verse 5 and verse 6, God outlines two clear instructions concerning serving faith. The first instruction, and you can't miss this one. If you miss this one, the second one don't count. The first one is the director of faith. Yeah. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is the director of faith. He's the one that tells you what works, and you're the one can't see it, but you know since He said it, you're going to do it, because somehow that thing always works. You and I, listen, I don't know how it is down in them islands, but up here we have more yard sales than we do soul winning programs. I heard somebody fussing about that the other day. Said, these programs. I wish we had program out the yard sales and the cookie sales and the t-shirt sales and the bake sales. I got up to church a while back. God is my witness. I got up and preached against it because I knew they did it. All the people wanted to get behind that thing and quit selling donuts. They're sick of it.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Say, what? How do you do it? You tithe, amen. That's how you do it. You just preach the book and tithe 10% and let everybody know that you do it, and they'll start following you. See, he just mentioned follow me. Guess what? Jesus tithed. Render unto the things which are Caesar's and the things which God is God's. I mean, it's very simple. And when you have servant faith, the director of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is, and God's way is always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Trust in the Lord. I notice that when we trust in Him in hard times, we'll trust in Him. In the hardest period of Job's life, he said, though He slay me, in Job 13:15, yet will I trust Him. See, there comes a time when you have serving faith when the serving's not so good. Most Baptist preachers, listen, you can stand on their ego and jump down to their IQ and you about commit suicide. But listen, I want to tell you something to help you today about serving faith today. When you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and we're following after Him and we trust Him, you can mark her down. Nobody is going to like you all the time, because eventually you're going to say something that even the devil won't like. And don't worry about Him not showing up. He shows up to church when half your people don't. He's always there and always wanting to criticize and compromise and everything else. But I do know this, in serving faith, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be times sometimes when you got to wait on the Domino's man to deliver your dinner and you didn't even order it, because God will send you through hard times. Hard times is when you sit around with a can of pork and beans and pretend like it's a steak. Hard times is when you go to the Goodwill and get a new suit and think you just walked out of belts with it. That's hard times. But there's a good God during all that time. And if you've got serving faith, He'll help you with that. He'll keep you going. When nobody else thinks you'll ever make it, He'll keep you. He'll give you the case of the I don't cares and I don't quits, and you'll keep on preaching. And if your mother-in-law shows up, you'll preach even harder. Amen. Some of you are scared right now. Listen, I know one of you back there in the back won't say nothing because your mother-in-law is sitting right in front of you. Amen. That's what you said to say, right, brother? Okay. Good. In hungry times, Christ is the answer with God. He's the director of faith. He says, trust in the Lord and do good, Psalm 37:3. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Do you know that there's a possibility that we're not suffering from hunger in this room right now? It's a possibility. I was told, the church I took over 21 years ago, they said that thing will close up and you'll starve to death. And you know what? I've had to go on more diets in 21 years than I'd like to remember. I found out I was on one the whole time. A seafood diet. I just see it and I want it and I eat it. But there's a thing I'm going to tell you about. In hungry times, God can help you. I noticed that when we look at these hungry times, God said, thou shalt be fed. Right. There's not a day goes by in your life that God don't go out and look at all them birds out there and feed them. Right. There's not a day you wake up and then look around all day, do your job, go to bed that night, that God don't take care of every animal on the face of this planet. Yeah. I'm amazed how they have gotten by, how dogs have lived without us feeding them all these years. Then I saw a gray fox the other day. It was wild, and I was reminded that God takes care of them. I noticed that when we get to the hungry times, we can trust Him. And there's no doubt today that while we trust Him, there's also in horrible times, trust in Christ will always be the answer. I read over in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is three things, my strength, my song, and he has become my salvation." There's going to be some times in your life when the word salvation don't apply just to the day you got saved, but the day God saved you out of some horrible times. There might come a time one day when somebody lies on you that was your best friend, and they'll have you locked up, or having you think you're going to be locked up. You're going to think every time the police ride by your house, they're going to stop with a warrant with your name on it over that person's lies. I talked to this late preacher. He told me this. I said, "Why? How have you remembered that much Bible?" He'd quote chapters of the Bible at a time. He said, "There was a time in my life when it got bad." And he said, "When I hit the bottom, God said, just take in that book and I'll take care of them." Amen. And he said, "I done forgot what happened to them people, but I love God." Amen. And that's the way to live that thing. In horrible times, you trust him. He's my strength when they attack. He's my song of victory, and he's become my salvation. You notice that him saving, the salvation he's talking about comes last. You got to go through the valley of the shadow of death to see that salvation. But I'm not talking about saving from hell. I'm talking about saving you from people. I found out, listen, if you want everybody to like you, don't pastor church. Go sell ice cream. That's your best bet. Because for some reason, all the politicians hate preachers. You know why? They're trying to pass liquor taxes and moonshine taxes. Listen, when I was a kid, it was illegal to talk about moonshine. Then we had one here on the corner here a while back selling it. What happened to us? Our politicians have sold us out. And I ain't talking about the Democratic National Convention. I'm talking about the local and state politicians are starting to sell us out. Thank God y'all have a governor that stood up and said, "You know what? Forget the NBA. Let them go somewhere else." I don't think their income's going to be hurt at all by missing Charlotte this coming year. In fact, why don't you quit supporting them and let them see what a dent it'll make in them? Amen. I noticed that when we look in the Bible, we see God's way is always in Christ, and God also warns us in verse 5 against something called common sense. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding." Can I suggest to you today that when people say, "Well, I may not have no book learning, but I got some common sense," they probably lied to your face about one or the other. Because common sense ain't common. It's an internet myth. I read it on there. It's true. But I want to point out to you, when God says, "Lean not to thine own understanding," he's talking about your common sense, because that'll get you in more common trouble than you want to shake a stick at. The book of wisdom right here in front of us, Proverbs chapter 23 verse 4 says, "Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom." Proverbs 28 verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." What does God warn against? Common sense. If it seems like it's something to work for you and God says something different, don't try it. It won't work. It'll crash. It'll burn. Listen, there was a guy that was driving a car, and this is a true story. He did not listen to his parents, and they were teaching him how to drive. And this happened on I-85 in Gaffney. He was over there, and he got out in that car the first time by himself, and he couldn't remember what all them gears was for. So he had it down in D, because he remembered that meant you drive. He remembered that one. And he said, "You know something?" His buddy sitting with him said, "Won't we go really fast?" So he put it up in R so they go really fast, and it was already about 65. I promise you that R wasn't really fast, no matter how much he believed it. Common sense would have dictated that R might have been that. But when that transmission was scattered all over I-85 southbound, they said, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know." He is a common sense person. He just forgot what one letter meant. Are you listening to me? Cease from thine own wisdom. There was a day in my life when I watched people go uptown and they'd take their cars to be worked on by these mechanics up there at the Ford place, the Chevrolet place, and all them places. They had them certified mechanics up there. I knew a boy when I was in high school, was 16 years old, could fix everything that they couldn't fix. That was in 1986. Common sense would have said, "Take it to the Ford place." Your wallet would have said, "Take it to the 16-year-old. He only charges you $20 to fix your car." But he's not licensed. Oh, perish the thought. Some of you ain't licensed either. And God help that you ever get one. See, there's coming a day. He mentioned a while ago about Iowa. They're going to try to say, "Well, you have a license if you want to preach in this country." Are you listening to me? If this next election is rigged like the last two were, we in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You can forget about preaching against anything. You might as well get a Joel Osteen outline book if you want to stay in the preaching business. That or you going to stay in the jail business, one or the other. Cease from thine own wisdom. I'd rather spend the next 20 years in jail because I was preaching than spend the next 20 years out here compromising with Hillary and her crowd. Amen. And if she wins the election, send her the tape. I don't care. Listen to me, friend. God is my help today. I want to show you this. He not only tells us about the director of faith in verse 5, but a second instruction he gives concerning serving faith. There's a lot more could be said, but these are only two right here in Proverbs. He says in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Not only see the director of faith, but we see the direction of faith. It's always personal when God's directing. See, he said, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." That means everything you do, give him the credit for it. There's a lot of people that suffer a lot of hard and evil things in this world. They go through a lot of hard times due to sickness and disease that they never asked for, never contracted themselves, but it was given to them seemingly as a gift. And nobody likes to be like that, and it's suffering and it's hard. But in all thy ways acknowledge him. I was telling Brother Bo, he didn't know I had diabetes. My wife prayed for such a sweet husband. I was so mean for so long. And then 2000, God answered her prayer and I became diabetic. I don't think that's what she intended, but God didn't work out the details with her. He just done it. So what does that do? That helps you direction. He's a personal God. Listen, can I tell you something? I preached a message right before that happened on about people having the heart as fat as grease. I preached it. Father Knows Best. Y'all, I remember hearing that TV show name. I preached that and three of us wound up with diabetes and one of us is in the grave right now. Is in my church. Are you listening to me? The direction of faith is not often the path we would choose. But when we get to the end of that path and look back, that's going to be the best road we was ever on. Listen to me, friend. The direction of faith is God's choice, not ours. And I noticed that when we say it is personal, in all thy ways acknowledge him, God is looking and desires personal worship from us. Yes, he wants you to come to church. Yes, he wants you to come and shout the house down and not be a hypocrite and shout when you shouldn't be shouting. But he wants you to come and worship him. But when you're at home and you wake up in the morning, start worshiping them. Get in the prayer closet. Practice worshiping God. Hey, get in there and have personal worship, even though nobody's around to hear you shout. Listen, he wants you to have personal instruction. He wants you to come to Sunday school and listen to your Sunday school teacher and take in the direction and the teaching of the Word of God. He wants you to come to preaching and let your preacher preach the devil out of you and get the instruction from the Word of God you need. But he wants you to have a personal time in which you go out and spend some time with him alone in this book, and he just instructs you as the author of this wonderful book and teaches you the great things of God. He wants personal fellowship with you. He wants a time where you can come and have a dinner just you and him. There's some people, there ain't 10 people around, they don't think they can pull up a fork. Hey, sometimes, listen, you need to get over in Revelation chapter 3 and find out that I will sup with him means he wants personal fellowship. Try this. Have a cup of coffee with your Bible every morning and invite Jesus over. Amen. Listen, and have a time of personal fellowship. And listen, God bless your church for having soul winning visitation and giving out gospel tracts. But dear friend, why don't you just take where you're at every once in a while and have some personal evangelism where you just go out there and say, you know what? I may be somewhere where the church people can't see me handing out a tract, but God, you know where they need to go. Direct me right here. I want to see the direction you want me to go. You never know when you might hand a tract out to somebody and then 6 months later hear about them getting saved. You just never know where that's going to happen. Y'all remember those little chick tracts from out in California? Boy, what a place for good gospel tracts to come from. Do you know that I put out one of them things on them? It was back in 1994. I got a package from them people, paid $5 for it back then, had one of every one of their tracks. I went out putting them out everywhere, and I wound up in Gastonia up at that mall on what now is known as Black Friday, because that's the biggest sale day of the year. This is like pre-Black Friday, I guess, where they actually started calling it that. And I was at a Shoney's, and I put out a gospel track out there about them satanic rockers, you know, the ones that's in church rocking. And I put that thing out there, and I just thought to myself, am I wasting my time? I mean, what are the chances that one of them dudes lives in North Carolina, in Gastonia, and would be at that place, at that restaurant, ever pick that thing up? I sat in Bible college 8 months later, and a kid walked across stage because they'd had everybody give their testimony and tell where they're from and how they got saved. And whether God called them to preach or whether it's going to be a missionary or whatever there was. I sat in there where you was, Brother Chip, and this kid stood up and said, I was outside of Gastonia, North Carolina at a Shoney's restaurant. I went to get me a newspaper and there laid a gospel tract. And listen, and he said, I read that thing and I bowed down right there beside that paper thing and got saved. He said, God called me to preach and put me in the ministry and I'm here right now. I never told him who put down the tract. I was just too excited. That was personal. I was glad to see God do something like that. Don't ever take for granted. I've had people say, well, I put out tracts, preacher, and they don't nobody get them. Keep putting them out there. Don't put them in stupid places. Put them where the director of faith says, put the direction of faith at. Put one down there, and God may use that thing to listen. He may be saving your next deacon. You never know. Now watch this. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And it says, he shall direct thy paths. If a lot of people would understand that the direction of faith is not their feet, but the feet of our Lord, and we follow in his path, because he's not only the director, he's also the direction. I read Psalm 37:23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Boy, we'd like to say that's us. And we walking with him, but I promise you this, when David penned that thing down under the inspiration of God, he had Jesus Christ on his heart and mind while he's writing it, and so did God. Because he is the good man. He is the one that came along that walked and was pleasing unto the Lord. And if we're going to walk in the direction of faith, we're going to have to walk according to the director of faith. And he says, he shall direct thy paths. I want to show you two verses of scripture. Proverbs 15. Look over there. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, and look down at verse number 22. I want to give you two lines of thought. The Bible shows us here, it says, he shall direct thy paths. Now watch this. Proverbs 15, verse 22. And in the other hand, get Psalm 119. I want to show you something, be of help to you today. We're talking about serving faith. Proverbs 15, verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You see that? Now, if you interpret the Bible without the Bible, or you interpret the Bible with any Hebrew text, here's what you're going to come up with the conclusion of. You need to get in touch with some people and have a lot of people tell you together what to do. And seek counsel of good godly men. That's what all the schools teach. That's what most of you probably believe. But I found out something. The best commentary on the Bible and the best interpreter of the Bible is the Bible. When we do word studies in the Bible, it's not to find out what Mr. Wiest and Mr. Robertson had to say about a word. Neither of the two, I don't believe, believed in the rapture of the church. But if we go over to Psalm 119 and we look down here in the Bible in verse number 24... God doesn't keep you in the dark. He lets you know the names of these counselors so you can call them up on the phone. Send out an email to them. Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. And the multitude of counselors over here, here's the counselors. Can I suggest to you that the director of faith and his direction of faith always directs by the Word of God? Amen. You don't know the times I have heard people down there where I'm at. I guess they do it up here. God told me. And it won't be anything like what the Bible said.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're fooling people with their spirituality.
Yeah.
They're not that spiritual.
Right.
Either they've been taught that in error by somebody else, or they're trying to get your money, just follow the money trail. Well, God told me you ought to give me so much. You know, a man told a fellow one time, he had one of them old case pocket knives his great granddaddy had. He said, and this preacher came up and said, God told me you need to give that to me. He said, do you want it in the stomach or in the side? He is from North Carolina. I can't tell how he acts. That's not my fault. I'm just telling you what the man told him. But I promise you this. God's going to direct you according to this book.
Right.
Listen, you ladies, I want to be as gentle as I can with this. Y'all probably preach better than us, but y'all are so mean when y'all preach to us at the house that we don't want to unleash you on the world. That's why the Bible says a husband, one wife is a pastor. Amen. It has nothing against whether you can. You can. Believe me, we know you can. But can I tell you something else? When God starts giving out qualifications in there, you go find a bunch of qualified men doing what God said in that whole book.
Right.
If he said a pastor's supposed to be this way, he'll show you pastors in that New Testament just like that.
Right.
If he says, listen to this, if he says that the leaders are supposed to be one way and you look to the White House and they're not that way, then guess what? That ain't the, listen, that ain't the path you follow. You follow the director, and he gives you the direction of it. I'd like to say something right quickly. While we're here in this building today, may God help us to get our direction from the Scriptures, from the beloved Son of God, from our Father who loves us, and quit relying on each other so much and start following Jesus like our dear brother preached on. Boy, I like that. Follow me. Follow me. You say, are you good at that? Not really. I've been trying to learn that for the last 20-something years. Follow me. And you know what? As I've gotten older, I realized something. Now listen to me. When I first started, I could do it all myself. I could make all the bulletins, come up with stuff, my own outlines, whatever you name of it. But as I got older, I realized all that didn't work as good as when I let the director give me the direction. Are you listening to me? If I look back on my ministry and I see failure, I know who put it there. I did. But when I look back and see all the good things, I know who the steps of the good man. I know who that good man was that's walking. I got in behind him a couple of times here and there. And that's the direction we got to take.
Right.
Amen. Brother Chip, come on.